This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
OpenAI recently published a paper on the governance of agentic AI systems. In this video, we'll continue to be critical of OpenAI. This is a big step in the right direction. So the TLDR of this paper is that they define agentic systems as those that are able to perform complex tasks in complex environments with minimal supervision. So those are the three primary criteria that OpenAI uses to define agentic systems. And this paper is about many kind of ways to approach this in terms of governance, what to look for, such as the ability to spend money. They talk about, you know, unintended consequences of misinterpreting instructions. The example that they give is kind of funny, which is imagine that you tell an AI agent that you want a Japanese cheesecake and it misunderstands and actually like buys you a ticket to Japan. And so it ends up costing you like $2,500 when actually what you meant was a Japanese recipe. Now, obviously, models generally don't do that. If you were to ask ChatGPT for Japanese cheesecake right now, it's not going to say, oh, well, you should go to Japan. I hear that they have good cheesecake in Kyoto. But the point being is that you do kind of have this monkey's paw possibility of misunderstanding instructions. I did talk about his ability to understand and think through things, particularly optimizing for costs in my book, Symphony of Thought. These models are already capable of thinking through contingencies, failure modes, those sorts of things, but you need to build those into the systems because unless you tell the model to think through those things, it's not going to. So it's more of a prompting strategy and a meta-prompting strategy. Anyways, my point here, though, is that OpenAI is moving towards what I would consider the right direction. And what I really want them to do, and not just OpenAI, and I'll unpack why it's structurally impossible for one company such as OpenAI to get this right. And that's actually why they published this paper. They said that like in the introduction, it literally says they want this to be a touch point for a conversation. So here I am boosting the signal and having the conversation. So they're inching towards full autonomy, talking about full agentic behavior and that sort of thing. I hope that they get to that. And I suspect that the reason that OpenAI is not talking about full autonomy yet is due to the Overton window. People are just not ready for it, by and large, especially when you look at the fact that out there in the wide world, most people are still just not even aware of OpenAI and GPT. And then you've got, you know, bozos on the internet saying, well, it failed at this one corner case and therefore it's useless. And I'm like, whatever. Okay, so when I say full autonomy, when I say, you know, we should be researching full autonomy in AI, what do I mean? There are three primary criteria that I am talking about when I mention full autonomy right now. So that is self-directing, self-correcting, and self-improving. So self-directing means that you have a machine or, you know, AI model or whatever, robot that makes all of its own decisions and judgment calls. It sets all of its own goals and objectives. Now, it should probably do that within the framework of some decision thing, like an ethical framework or a decision-making framework, which I've done some work on that. I call it the heuristic imperatives, but I don't want to make this about my research because there's plenty of ways to skin that cat. But self-directing. So self-correcting means that it should be able to detect and rectify errors of all kinds, whether that's strategic, logical errors, technical errors, flaws in computing, that sort of thing. So basically self-awareness. And I don't mean self-awareness in the philosophical sense. I don't mean philosophical sentience. What I mean is that we need to have systems and we need to understand the protocols and guidelines and frameworks of what kinds of data streams do these models and machines and robots need to be paying attention to on their internally in order to find and rectify those flaws. We already have some research into this in terms of prompting strategies. So this is like a tree of decisions and those sorts of things. So we're researching it from a prompt engineering perspective. But of course, models are not the entire stack, you know, and having a model check itself is not necessarily the best way to go. So we probably need to be researching ways to have multiple models checking each other, which seems like it's the way that it's going anyways because of mixture of experts. But there's also other layers of the stack. So there's the training data, there is the hardware, the software, the models themselves. And then if you have some models watching other models, who's watching the watchers? Do you have a circle of models all checking each other? That's kind of what I mean by self-correcting. And then finally, self-improving. So self-improving means AI and machines and robots that are capable of improving every layer of the stack. Hardware, software, and models, and that includes the training that and training data and that sort of thing. So if we research those three pillars and we come up with principles of, okay, how do we make sure that AI, robots, machines are able to do self-direction, self-correction, and self-improvement all in a stable and predictable trajectory, we should be fine. Fewer and fewer people kind of worried about the control problem. There are still doomers out there that say like AI is going to kill everyone. But I think the cycle has kind of moved on. So it's like, okay, the Overton window has shifted saying AI is here. How do we do it safely? So those are three criteria that I want to see being researched more deliberately, kind of in a coherent framework. There are a couple problems that I have with OpenAI's current approach. And so the first is the duality of intelligence. So duality of intelligence basically means that neutering models is not a sustainable path for the long term. The more intelligent a model is, the more destructive potential it has. Intelligence is just intrinsically dangerous. And so you might continuously find edge cases and corner cases, but there's also for every way that you try and hamstring a model, there's going to be a new way to jailbreak it. And it might actually get harder to curtail these abilities as models get smarter. But also that assumes that good actors are going to be implementing this stuff. As plenty of people have pointed out, open source models are only a few months behind closed source models. And the first thing that happens is they're all jailbroken. So, you know, yeah, putting guardrails on a commercially available API, great. That is not a permanent or long-term solution outside of a commercial deployment. And so when we have to assume that in the future, there are going to be super intelligent open source models that are fully jailbroken and uncensored. That's just a fact of life that we're going to have to deal with, which means we should be researching how to create self-detecting or self-directing, self-correcting, and self-improving models now so that we know how to do that. And then also there is the uncertainty of corrigibility. So this is something that I do agree with some of the doomers, which is good luck controlling something that is a million times more intelligent than you. Yes, right now they're just inert machines. Yes, right now they rely on, you know, billion-dollar data centers and, you know, super expensive GPUs and a tremendous amount of power, so we still have the power switch. We should not assume that we will have the power switch forever into the future. And so the combination of the duality of intelligence and the uncertainty of corrigibility means that, like, right now, while we have control, is when we need to be researching full autonomy, because in the long run, what's going to protect us from an evil AI that's going haywire, or maybe even not an evil AI, but just something that is malfunctioning? We need something that is benevolent, that is good, that is stable to help, you know, kind of level the playing field, basically. There's three primary concerns that I have with respect to failure to research full autonomy right now. And this is why I'm making this video, is because the clock is ticking. And so there are three major dangers that emerge from failure to research full autonomy right now while we have the kill switch. First, inevitable technological progress. It's barreling forward, full steam ahead. Research is not just going fast, it is accelerating. as more and more nations participate in this. And this is like, just think about like, okay, Russia, China, America, Germany, you know, everyone is going to be working more towards fully autonomous AI systems. We already know that the military is. So like, why are the rest of us not researching this? Because in order to understand this, like it's just going to keep going faster. So number two is the lack of preparedness and oversight. Basically, if we don't understand full autonomy now while it's in its infancy, we will not have the necessary frameworks, guidelines, and best practices in order to understand full autonomy by the time it's too late. So the best time to start researching full autonomy is yesterday. The second best time to start researching it is today. And finally, the other biggest danger is just missed opportunities for safety research. Again, as these more powerful AI systems emerge that are intrinsically more agentic, that are intrinsically smarter, we might not know what safety features to build into them or how that will upset the competitive landscape. As Sam Altman recently said in an interview, they got a lot wrong. That kind of the story that he told was, you know, they tried the closed safety testing. They did 6 months of safety testing and they missed a whole lot of stuff with, you know, the release of GPT 3.5 and GPT 4. There's problems with this cloistered research mentality. For instance, you know, when you have closed door testing, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities. You're going to not see things that, you know, that the market does. And this is what Sam Altman said, which is once they released it, you know, all the users were far more creative and far more divergently thinking than they anticipated. And so part of solving autonomy has to be in public. It has to be done as an ongoing negotiation, as an ongoing conversation, because you have to release something and see what happens. And so this incrementalism is the way to go forward. And I think OpenAI has converged on that. But I just want to kind of drive home the point that if they have, then I would like to reinforce that. Blind spots. So, you know, Silicon Valley tech culture, small teams, and then the hubris of inventors. Everyone has blind spots, including me, including Sam Altman, including Bill Gates, like, and you, all of you watching, we all have blind spots, which means that it is just structurally impossible for a small closed door team to research full autonomy correctly. And then finally, there's incentive structures. OpenAI, Google, Microsoft, the Department of Defense, everyone has a set of incentive structures, and no matter how much we all believe that we are doing good work and that we are benevolently, you know, trying to better humanity, we all have incentive structures, which sometimes are perverse incentive structures. We are obligated to do things in a certain way. We're beholden to investors, to partners, to other stakeholders, to our employers, to whatever. And this is not something that is unique to OpenAI or me or the government or whatever. What I mean is that everyone has blind spots, everyone has incentives, and so in that respect, it is structurally impossible to do this in a closed door setting. So what I want to do is close the video out by talking about the economic incentives. So I've been talking about all the dangers with failing to research full autonomy. So let's talk about like the advantages. So first, in adversarial environments, whether that's cybersecurity or military or even just commercial environments, people who stick the landing of full autonomy are going to have a huge advantage. So imagine you're the first company to have fully autonomous AI employees. You're going to have a huge advantage over those that don't. There's a pretty good profit motive to figure out how to do that self-directing, self-correcting, and self-improving right now. Another advantage is decision fatigue. The current research trajectory says that humans are going to need to be in the loop. Humans are going to need to be supervising and guiding the machines. But that sounds like a really boring job. Can you imagine just like pushing a button every day saying like, okay, yes, I approve that. Yes, I approve that. Okay, go do this, go do that. You know, like, I don't know, like that just seems suboptimal. That seems like not a good use of human brain power, especially as AI gets better at supervising itself or supervising each other. So we need to be very deliberately trying to get humans out of the loop, because decision fatigue is a very real thing, especially when you have machines that don't get tired, and humans do get tired very quickly, especially when you're engaging executive thought. So the current plan of, you know, agentic machines that humans are just kind of steering, you know, like puppeteers, that's not a sustainable pattern, not just commercially, but just from a psychological and neuroscience perspective, that is not a good use of human executive function. And then the last kind of point about economic advantages or incentives to research full autonomy is shorter feedback cycles. So I've made a couple of videos talking about polymorphic applications. So imagine that you can shorten the feedback cycle of your software platform, of your work streams, of everything else, and you just get humans out of the loop altogether. And these, and your AI agents, whether they're software coders building, you know, your software as a service platform, whether they are, you know, working on self-driving, that sort of stuff, humans are slow. And as these machines get better and faster, then I think that it would behoove us to get humans out of the loop. And this will accelerate innovation and productivity even more, because the you know, humans are the biggest bottleneck. Now, that says like, okay, well, where do humans fit in? That's a topic for another video. But what I'm saying is there are tremendous competitive advantages, economic advantages, and safety advantages to studying full autonomy right now. So if you take one thing away from this video, that's what I want you to take away, which is we need to be studying and researching and testing and experimenting with full machine autonomy, ideally yesterday, but today is a good second place. So thanks for watching. Like, subscribe, et cetera, et cetera. You know the drill. Cheers.